listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are wrapping up Bach Week here on The Coffee Hour, but it doesn't have to be sad. We have a great story to share with you today. It's also our Set Apart to Serve conversation because we get to talk with a Lutheran teacher who loves Bach, and Bach has really shaped everything that she does as a teacher, and I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that. So we're going to talk with Dr. Jody Marsh of St. Paul Lutheran High School in just a moment. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin by visiting cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Dr. Jody Marsh. She is the director of music at St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri. She also serves as the executive director of Concordia Music Conservatory and the artistic director and conductor for the Sedalia Symphony Orchestra. And I'm sure there are probably a few more things we could add to that as well. Dr. Marsh, welcome back to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
We are excited to get to talk about Bach with you during Bach Week. So let's talk about the intersection of Dr. Jody Marsh and Bach. How has Bach influenced you, your life, and your work? And I know this could probably be like a four-part series just answering that question, but I'll let you run with it.
Well, so I mean, my background was as a pianist. That's how I, you know, first came to learn about Bach. And so it was just the complexity of his music was always fascinating for me. And then I was one of those nerdy teenagers that read all these biographies about all the composers. So I learned a lot about J.S. Bach. And this was actually before I became Lutheran. I was Christian, but not Lutheran. And so he really was, it was fascinating to me to learn about his work and then his faith and his life. And I have to say, it really wasn't until I spoke German fluently when I lived overseas for 20 years that I really came to appreciate his choral music. So it was always interesting because the music itself is great. But up to that point, I played a lot of Bach, lots and lots of his keyboard works, suites, partitas, preludes and fugues, all the great stuff. And I had a natural affinity for Bach's music. And so then when I kind of was entering this role of a church musician in Germany, it was just fascinating to me to watch how the language and the texts of his music was married with his music and his musical ideas and his concept of color and timbre and all of those things. So that's kind of how that's influenced my association with Bach. And now that I'm a high school music teacher, I like to share my passion for the music. Whether the kids are interested or not, that's what they get. every year.
And I'm sure they love it they may or may not love it by the end of it, but it will benefit them in some way at some point in their lives.
And they learn to love it. And that's, I think, my thing is like, teaching children to get excited about the complexity of Bach, the beauty of his music and his faith and you know, the depth of what he composed and just the massive output as well. The kids get to learn a lot of things that they probably wouldn't otherwise learn by doing that. So
now you have a very interesting perspective because of your German fluency. I'm not sure that many of our other guests have that level of German proficiency and fluency that you have. I just want to pause here for just another hot second to talk more about that German language and understanding Bach, maybe on a different level. We have a lot of his works in English, but you lose some things in translation just because of how things are translated. Tell us a little bit more about what you've learned about Bach and his faith and how he composed his music just with your understanding of German. What are some of those insights that you have because of that?
Wow. There's a lot of points to that question. So I think anytime you do something in the original language, you take a word that is then connected to the way he writes the melodic line, it just means something different. And so my job to my 60 choir kids or my 20, 25 children's choir kids is to teach them words without necessarily teaching them the whole language. We sing everything in the language, but I pick usually one or two words that I feel like they can associate with, and then kind of talk to them about how the music associates with that word. And so if it's, you know, a chorale from the Passion, one of the Passions, for example, then they get to understand why this word was, you know, used and why the music associates, if it's a word of expressing agony, for example, or anguish, or, you know, during the Lenten season, we have a lot more of that. But also in that same vein, I always connect what they're doing with what we sing today. So one of my strategies, I guess you'd say, to helping them understand and love the music is that I will pull, for example, a chorale from one of the Passions, and then I will pair it with one of our hymns, because there are numerous hymns. For example, this last choir tour season, we did the LSB, I can't remember what number it is now, Lord, Thee I Love With All My Heart. So that final verse in that is also the final chorale from the St. John Passion. And so we actually opened with the double choir version in English of the Hassler setting to that chorale. And then we closed our concert with the Bach setting. So then it's not suddenly just some random old piece of music in a foreign language that the kids are singing. It actually means something. And it's a pretty close translation in the LSB. And so that was really revealing for our students to go, oh, you know, Abraham Schoss, what is a Schoss? Abraham, you know, they can understand, you know, Kämmerlein is a small little chamber, right? So they're learning German, but they're also learning theology in both languages. They're learning about music. They're learning about Bach and what this meant to him. I hope that this is impactful for them to do it this way. Sometimes we'll take a cantata. We don't just take chorales. We'll take sections and I will set those for whatever instrumental ensemble we have, because I don't have a full, you know, orchestra here at this high school. But I try every year to at least do a chorale and then connect it to what we sing, you know, in our hymnal.
So take us into day one of teaching a new Bach piece in German to your high school students. What does that look like, introducing a new piece in German? How do you go about teaching just even the German diction in a high school choir?
Well, first of all, I usually come in and I'm very excited. I'm like, we're going to do this piece this year. And the kids look at me like, okay, what next? You know, but I usually get, I come in very excited about it, and very, because, you know, if I'm not excited about it, they're not going to get excited about it. Right. And it's usually a struggle at first, because many of them have never sung in German, but many of them have, because I do this every year. So many of them already have pretty good vocabulary of some words that show up a lot, like Himmel, heaven, you know, and they sort of know how to say some of these words. I start right away with the translation, and I, you know, let them know, you know, here's what this means. Here's the gist of it. So that when you go and actually start to say these words, they're not meaningless. Then the next step is to kind of correlate the most familiar words that kind of have a connection to the English. Because English and German are both Germanic-based languages, so there are a lot of similarities. And they know that any word that ends with Lein is something little, you know. So Engelein is a little angel. Kämmerlein is a little chamber. You know, they start putting it all together. And kids are quick. Kids are really quick. And I kind of have the expectation that they're going to do it, and they're going to do it well. I do have that expectation. And so their job is to do it well, and my job is to get them to want to do it well. Because I know that that's not the question. It's motivating their desire, right? So And with the children's choir, so we just had the Kinder Chor sing. They were at the Missouri District Convention. I don't know if either of you were there, but they were at the opening service. They provided all the music. They sang the Nun Danket Alle Gott, two parts. I set it for two parts. It's normally four. And I had a piano accompaniment because I don't have brass, obviously, for that. But they sang, I set it, the original German, and then they did the repeat, and they did it in English, and they did it from memory, and they did a fabulous job of it because they can, you know. And already, these are fourth through eighth graders. They're learning to love singing the music that's basically their whole heritage in the Lutheran Church.
That sounds like such a great opportunity for kids to be able to have those high standards and to be able to meet them and perform this music that is such a rich heritage in our church body and even outside of our church body too. And Bach is just a fantastic music for children to learn. Why is it important to you that children and youth learn this music, learn the music of Bach?
Well, I think it is a direct part of our heritage, our Lutheran heritage, and the chorales, especially for just the Protestant church in general, the chorales brought singing, congregational singing back to worship, right? Because in the Renaissance era, you know, the Catholic Church, everything became so complex that your average person coming to church didn't sing. They didn't participate in worship. It became more of a spectator thing. So once that changed, you know, then we still have these great composers needing this outlet for their, you know, creative impulse. Somebody like Bach, you know, writing cantatas, 20, 30 minute cantatas every week, underscored the scripture of the readings each week, gave the opportunity for the congregations to sing along. Usually at the end, if they're cantatas, the passions, they would sing along in wherever the chorales ended up. But I think it's important because it's just such a staple to our, not just our Lutheran heritage, but just our Protestant heritage. Congregational singing is so important. And even now within the Lutheran churches, there are many congregations that I don't see everybody really, really, you know, singing. And I think that's sad that we're losing that. So, yeah, finding ways to excite people about them. For me, the text is really amazing as well, but that's not necessarily a Bach thing. It's just our Lutheran heritage.
We're talking with Dr. Jerody Marsh, Director of Music at St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri, for Bach Week. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Bach Week. We're talking with Dr. Jerody Marsh, Director of Music at St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri. And we're chatting about the place of Bach in the classroom, particularly with high school music students, high school choir students. Why, or what would you say are the benefits of teaching students or for students learning to sing Bach in German? What are the benefits of learning to sing Bach in German for these students?
Well, I think anytime students learn to sing in a foreign language, it's just a good mental exercise. Mm-hmm. Studies show that students who are children, people that sing, that can speak more than one language, it just accesses a different part of your brain. music does that to start with, right? So we know that singing is lots of benefit, emotional, spiritual, physical, like blood pressure drops. I mean, there's all kinds of studies out there from the scientific side of things, but just German language itself, you know, you're speaking and singing in a different language. But I think the German, because it's the original language, you always miss a little bit, like Sarah was saying earlier, when you go to the translations, because words are sometimes not entirely translatable. So when they sing in a word, they sing a word that maybe I have to use a number of different words to sort of convey the meaning. There might be one German word that has a lot of different overtones that we don't really have one word for that in English. The German is helpful for that. And it also, a lot of times, will dictate the musical nuance. I feel like they can get a better musical nuance. And, you know, where it's not always just about the music, it's never just about the music. I think you can show the beauty of the music to a better depth when you do anything in its original language, whether it's Latin or, you know, when we've done foray pieces in French, you know, we do Slovak carols because we have a lot of Slovak students. Anytime you do the original language, I think you capture something within the musical beauty itself that you can't otherwise get. So that's my opinion. It justifies getting to sing in all these languages.
I agree with your opinion. There's just text painting and things that happen in original languages that is just difficult when you translate. Sometimes you can get it and it works, and sometimes it just doesn't. So original. I mean, I'm all on board for singing in original languages too.
Well, and another thing is, from a theological standpoint, one of the reasons I have my students sing in lots of different languages is because, as you know, St. Paul Lutheran High School is also a very international school. Yeah. And it's important to remind our Americans that God is the author of all languages. And so, for example, when we were in Slovakia for this 2-week choir tour, we worshiped in Slovak. And, you know, our students suddenly, several students mentioned this really powerful sense of God is everywhere. I don't understand one word of Slovak. I mean, I do, but a little bit now, but like when you go someplace, but you know God is there, and you know that no matter what the language is, God is being honored, God is being glorified, God is being worshiped through whatever it is that we're doing. And music is universal. So we, just a quick story to share, when we were in Slovakia, we were part of a Eastern District Lutheran gathering that was televised nationally. And so we didn't really know what was going on because there weren't translations because it was in Slovakia. But one of the songs they sang was "Now Thank We All Our God." And they sang several other Lutheran hymns that we knew the tunes to, even though we didn't know the text, in Slovak. And it's fun for our Slovak kids to come here and we start singing something in English and they say, "Oh, we sing that in Slovakia." And that's just a very connecting, unifying aspect of what we do. And that's why it's important. It reminds our students when they struggle through another language that our God is so big. We can't really understand how big he is, but just the language aspect alone helps open up that mindset and that heart to just, you know, the unity that we have in the church.
That is a really beautiful thing, to have that connection together through the use of languages and music with all the students at St. Paul. In addition to music, do you teach about the life and history of J.S. Bach as a person?
I do, and about other composers too. There's all kinds of fun tidbits that you get to share. One of the things, sometimes I'll just take a break and I'm like, it's story time, you know, and I'll share some anecdote of either something that's happened in my past career or some interesting anecdote about composers. You know, Bach taught at a boarding school. He was the headmaster. Like, he was a musical director, but he was also the headmaster of this boarding school. And so we have a boarding school too. And so it's kind of fun to to remind these kids that, you know, the kids at Box Boarding School, they had choir every day as well, because a lot of schools don't, you know, have it maybe once a week. So, and they learn music every week for the worship services. And, you know, they also had rules about the dorms. You know, their rules are a little different. In 2018, when the choir did a tour, we got to go to Leipzig. And there's a list of rules in the Bach Museum that, you know, you can't dump your chamber pot out the window, and, you know, different eras. You can't sword fight, and you can't pillow fight. And they had curfews just like we do. You know, we might not have swords and chamber pots, but we have rules, you know. So it's kind of fun to like share like cultural things that might be similar, but might be different, you know. And so, but they were boys. They were all boys there, right? At this boarding school where Bach was. So yeah, I like to teach them about those things and just give them funny bits of history that they're not going to get in a regular history.
No rules about sword fighting today.
No sword fighting. Yeah.
What benefits have your former students shared with you about their experience of learning Bach in your classes?
Well, I think the biggest thing is probably that they were really challenged in high school at a level that, unless they go to a university with a really excellent choir, they're not going to experience that in college. In fact, some have come back and complained that their college choir is not very good. And well, that's the case a lot of times. It's unfortunate, but they've been so challenged and in kind of an insular sort of way, right? I don't compare this choir to other choirs around. That's not my job. My job is to get this choir every year to sound the best they can possibly sound. And some years that's even better than other years, maybe depending on the combination of singers, but we're always striving to do our best with the gifts that we've been given. That's what's important to me. So I think the benefit of learning difficult music is more than just about music. It's also about taking on challenges in life. It's about learning to take critical feedback when they're not saying a word quite right, or they aren't singing something quite exactly in tune, when they haven't really given their best. Learning to do that is really important. And I think Bach is a great composer for encompassing all of those things, because Bach is so difficult. It's very instrumental. Handel is much easier to sing. Handel's more vocal. He wrote a lot of operatic things. Bach took everything from an instrumental standpoint, because he wasn't really a singer himself. You know, he played the organ, fabulous organist. He played the violin. He was a fabulous string player. So you see all of that come out in his music. And then he treats the voice almost like an instrument. And so his music, for that reason, I think is more difficult overall. And so that also, I think, challenges the students in a different kind of way.
Our guest today, Dr. Jerodi Marsh, Director of Music at St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri. She also serves as the Executive Director of Concordia Music Conservatory and Artistic Director and Conductor for the Sedalia Symphony Orchestra. Dr. Marsh, thank you so much for spending this time with us during Bach Week on the Coffee Hour.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
We certainly enjoyed it as well. You can learn more about Set Apart to Serve by visiting lcms.org/SAS. You've been listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.